Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo 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 Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Kashyapa.
Yavasam
Shiram
Vatsam
Kritva
Govrisham
Aranyapatre
Adyuksham
Mriga
Indrena
Tamstrena
Ravya
Ada
Pranina
Pranina
Ravyam
Ravyam
Guruhu
Sre
Kalevare
Kalevare
Suparna
Suparna
Vatsa
Vatsa
Vihaga
Vihaga
Charam
Charam
Cha
Acharam
Acharam
Eva
Eva
Cha
Cha
Pashava Yashavam Chiram
Pashava Yashavam Chiram
Vatsam Kritva Chago Risham
Vatsam Kritva Chago Risham
Aranyapatre Chahukshan
Aranyapatre Chahukshan
Vingadrena Chatam Strina
Vingadrena Chatam Strina
Yada Panina Kravyam
Yada Panina Kravyam
Guru Sve Kale Vare
Guru Sve Kale Vare
Suparna Vatsa Vihagash
Suparna Vatsa Vihagash
Charam Characham Eva Charam
Charam Charam Eva Charam
Vashava
Vashava
Cattle
Garden
Yavasam
Yavasam
Green grasses
Green grasses
Shiram
Shiram
Milk
Vatsam
The calf
Kritva
Kritva
Making
Cha
Also
Govrisham
Govrisham
The bull carrier of Lord Shiva Aranyapatre
Aranyapatre
In the pot of the forest
Also
Adukshan
Adukshan
Milk out Vrigga Indrena
Vrigga Indrena
By the
way,
and
Dumstrina,
animals with sharp teeth, animals who eat raw flesh, Pranina,
living entities,
flesh,
Duruhu,
took out,
Svei,
on,
Kalevare,
in the part of their body,
Suparna,
Garuda,
Vatsa,
whose calf,
Vega,
the birds,
Charam,
moving living entities,
also,
Acharam,
non-moving living entities, Eva,
certainly,
also.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The four-legged animals, like the cows, made a calf out of the bull who carries Lord Shiva, and made a milking pot out of the forest. Thus they got fresh green grasses to eat. Ferocious animals like tigers transformed a lion into a calf, and thus they were able to get flesh for milk. The birds made a calf out of Garuda and took milk from the planet Earth in the form of moving insects and non-moving plants and grasses. Purport. There are many carnivorous birds descended from Garuda, the winged carrier of Lord Vishnu. Indeed, there's a particular type of bird that is very fond of eating monkeys. Eagles are fond of eating goats, and of course many birds eat only fruits and berries. Therefore the words charan, referring to moving animals, and acharan, referring to grasses, fruits, and vegetables, are mentioned in this verse. Vandeham. Shri Guru, Shri Jasai, Bhadakam, Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha, Shri Rupa, Sagra Jatam, Sahagana-radhanātam-vitam-tam-sa-jīvam-sadvaitam-savadūrūtam-parījana-saitam-krishna-chaitanya-devam. Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sanagana Lalita Shri Vishakambitamsha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Vacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyashati Shasharine Mukam Karoti Vachal Pandunam Yate Girim Yatrika Aham Bande Shri Guru It's pretty amazing. Birds that eat monkeys. Actually, tomorrow, my wife and I are flying to the place where those birds. South America, that's where they live. They're called the harpy eagles. Actually, the harpy eagle is the national bird of Panama. And this bird is so powerful. He can lift a monkey of his own weight. He can fly off with a monkey who weighs as much as he does. That's how powerful he is. They have very powerful talons also for grabbing the monkey. So there are such creatures. Also, eagles that eat goats. There's a nice verse that talks about this stuff here. One living entity is food for another living entity. Jiva, jivasa jivanam. This is described in the Bhagavatam 1.13.47. Those who are devoid of hands are prey for those who have hands. Those devoid of legs are prey for the four-legged. And the weak are the subsistence of the strong, and the general rule holds that one living being is food for another. Papa gives a nice purport also to help us go deeper into this understanding. Systematic law of subsistence in the struggle for existence is there by the supreme will. And there is no escape for anyone by any amount of planning. The living beings who have come to the material world against the will of the supreme being are under the control of a supreme power called Maya Shakti, the deputed agent of the Lord, and this diving Maya is meant to pinch the conditioned soul by threefold miseries, one of which is explained here in this verse, the weak and the subsistence of the strong. No one is strong enough to protect himself from the onslaught of a stronger, and by the will of the Lord, there are systematic categories of the weak, the stronger, and the strongest. There's nothing to be lamented if a tiger eats a weaker animal, including a man, because that is the law of the Supreme Lord. But although law states that a human being must subsist on the living being, there is a law of good sense also, for the human being is meant to obey the laws of the scriptures. This is impossible for other animals. The human being is meant for self-realization. For that purpose, he is not to eat anything which is not first offered to the Lord. The Lord accepts from his devotees all kinds of food preparations made of vegetables, fruits, leaves, and grains. Fruits, leaves, and milk in different varieties can be offered to the Lord. And after the Lord accepts the foodstuff, the devotee can take of it the shah, by which all suffering in the struggle for existence will gradually be mitigated. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9:26. Even those who are accustomed to eat animals can offer foodstuff, not to the Lord directly, but to an agent of the Lord under certain conditions of religious rites. Injunctions of the scriptures are meant not to encourage the eaters of animals, but to restrict them by regulated principles. The living being is the source of subsistence for other stronger living beings. No one should be very anxious for his subsistence in any circumstances, because there are living beings everywhere, and no living being starves for want of food at any place. Maharaj Yudhisthira is advised by Narada not to worry about his uncle's offering for want of uncle's suffering for want of food, for they could live on vegetables available in the jungles as Bishad of the Supreme Lord, and thus realize the path of salvation. Exploitation of the weaker living being by the stronger is the natural law of existence. There is always an attempt to devour the weak in different kingdoms of living beings. There is no possibility of checking this tendency by any artificial means under material conditions. It can be checked only by the awakening, by awakening the spiritual sense of the human being by practice of spiritual regulation. The spiritual regulative principles, however, do not allow a man to slaughter weaker animals on one side and teach others peaceful coexistence. They have that going on now. You see, they talk about peace. They have the peace rally and they go to McDonald's and eat a hamburger after the peace rally. Very, very contradictory. If a man does not allow the animals peaceful coexistence, how can he expect peaceful coexistence in human society? The blind leaders must therefore understand the Supreme Being and then try to implement the Kingdom of God. The Kingdom of God, or Ram Raja, is impossible without the awakening of God consciousness in the mass mind of the people of the world. We were trying to do that last night at Harinam. At this Harinam, we want to awake the mass, there's the mass mind down there, downtown. It's the mass mind trying to enjoy the material world. We want to try to influence that mass mind. As I announced to the people last night, everybody who joined in this chanting of Hare Krishna will have world peace. There'll be no more anxiety, no more wars, disease will go away. This chanting of
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
is all auspicious. So we really need to educate these people not to eat the animals. It's a really important thing. Animals can eat animals. If we eat animals, we're animals. You are what you eat. If we eat animals, we remain in the animal consciousness. If we're meant to take a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, some milk offered to Krishna with love and devotion, and that it becomes transformed just by this eating process only, Papa said. He actually said, just by this eating process, one can have that awakening. We see that just by the prasadam restaurants, for example, unknowingly you're getting prasadam. So they're getting great spiritual benefit by the prasadam, by the harinam sankirtan, by the books. We want to bring about this mass elevation of the global consciousness, this higher principle of Krishna bhakti. This is actually the original natural energy of every living entity. Every living entity is constitutionally a name, the servant of Krishna, Jivara Rupahai, Krishnara Nishadas. That is everyone's nature, the whole world. all these human beings, even the animals, the plants, everyone is actually a pure devotee of Krishna who made the mistake of wanting to enjoy separately and became covered by the modes of material nature. So in this movement, we want to reconnect them with who they actually are. Get back to who you actually are. Stop trying to be what you're not. You cannot be happy trying to be what you're not. The fish cannot be happy as a land creature. The fish can only be happy when he's back in the water. So we want to induce and attract everyone. Come back to that original position of being a servant of that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unlimitedly powerful, unlimitedly beautiful, unlimitedly renounced, unlimitedly knowledgeable, unlimitedly wealthy, and unlimitedly famous. An amazing superstar, a super, super, superstar of all superstars, Lord Krishna. We're all meant to be totally infatuated by Krishna. We need to get back to that original position. Mad after God, like the gopis. Mad after Krishna. Want to develop that this intense desire to remember Krishna, to think about Krishna, to talk about Krishna, to bow down to Krishna, to serve Krishna, to propagate the glories of Krishna. Want to become completely intoxicated with Krishna consciousness. It's to drive away all the lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, the illusion, the envy, which has been torturing us for millions and billions of lifetimes. This merciful Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made this process very easy simply by chanting these names of devotion.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
One can enter this state of great happiness and bliss. One can actually become intoxicated with these names. The material world people are intoxicated with cigarettes, they're intoxicated by caffeine and liquor and LSD and sex pleasures. So many things they're intoxicated with, mundane music, all these things are intoxicated with them. But this is called the higher taste, you see. Because everyone requires taste. The mind bodies want to deny taste and enter into tastelessness. But that is an artificial position. We all anchor for taste. Rasa, we all want taste. So one has to develop a taste for bhakti, bhakti rasa. Because once you actually, of course it's acquired taste. Because we're so addicted to lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy. Bhakti rasa is so subtle, it's sometimes a little difficult in the beginning to develop that taste. Therefore we have regulated principles. Chant at least 16 rounds every day of japa mala. And you give up illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, gambling, take initiation from the bona fide spiritual master. These are regulative principles to help us actually develop a taste for bhakti. You see? Where it becomes a natural taste. Once you have that taste for bhakti, the other tastes are disgusting. Just like Jamanacharya Albandru. He formerly was a king having so much sex pleasure, but now he's become a devotee. He gave a very nice prayer. Yadavari mamma chaita Krishna padara vinde Navanavara sadava nattaram chumasik Yadavari bhaktanari sangame smayamane Babadi mukur nishtivanam cha. Ever since I've engaged in the transcendental loving service of Sri Sri Bala and Krishna, deriving nava-nava rasa, ever-increasingly ecstatic mellows in that service. Whenever due to my past sinful activities, my mind thinks about sex pleasure, my lips curl to this state, then I spit at the thought. So this is actually a fact. If you can develop a taste for bhakti, the other taste is simply disgusting. Sex pleasure, fame, spit on all of it, you see. Because actually here in bhakti there's unlimited sweetness. These material pleasures, they give an illusion of sweetness only. There's actually no sweetness. They are simply bitter poison. All of these material sense gratification, bitter poison only. Now we're enamored by them. We're thinking they're very nice. But if you, by following the sadhana bhakti process, regulated devotional service, you gradually awaken that taste of Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And once you get that taste for Krishna, who needs all this garbage? You see? Just garbage. That's all. All of, you know, even all the way to the post of Brahma having that powerful position, it is simply garbage once you develop that taste for bhakti. So we must endeavor in this way. We must help each other, also encourage each other. It is sometimes difficult for us neophyte devotees. We're attracted to this thing, we're attracted to that thing. We have to help each other get over these attractions and simply come back to bhakti, Krishna bhakti. And you say, well, but I have to worry about my livelihood, I have to do this thing and that thing, my education, getting my degree. Or I have to think about other things too, don't I? But you know what Lord Jesus said? Lord Jesus gave very good, really nice advice in this connection. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all other things should be added unto you. So if you will focus on bhakti, Krishna bhakti, then everything will come. Your livelihood, your education, your family life, whatever you need to become Krishna conscious. Krishna will give everything. Just like when a devotee came to me, came to my wife and I for some consultation. He was wondering, should I do this, should I do that? I don't know whether I should study, do full-time service. I'm really bewildered what I should do, where I should go. But I pointed out to him, you're confused because you're not focusing on pure devotional service. If you actually focus on developing pure devotional service, awakening pure love of God within your heart, then Krishna within will guide you. This is what you should do. So we all have to learn this art of how to put the awakening of pure bhakti as the number one priority in our minds at every minute, actually. When you wake up in the morning, should be, how can I develop pure love for Krishna today? Not how I can get to work on time. That's secondary. How can I develop pure love for Krishna? Now we have a new year, 2019. How in this year now can I develop prema, bhakti, pure love of God? You'll always keep bringing your mind back to this point. I have to develop pure bhakti. I have to develop pure bhakti. I have to develop pure bhakti. And all the details will come automatically. You see? Whether you should go here, whether you should go there, whether you should stay brahmachari, whether you should get married, you know, everything comes. If you focus on pure devotional service, everything will come. Livelihood, where you should go, what you should do. Everything will be revealed by Krishna within my heart if you focus on pure devotional service. So we have a few minutes left. Perhaps there's some questions. I'll be happy to try to answer them. If you have any questions. This is my last lecture, by the way, your last chance. I'm heading out tomorrow for the Lord of the Harpy Eagle. I hope they don't. I think I'm too big for them to grab me. Yeah.
Thank you, Maharaj. Maharaj, so far we hear Darwin talk about more or less the same thing what you spoke in the class about one living entity subsists on the other.
Yeah.
But because of lack of spiritual knowledge, he came to a mundane conclusion that the survival of the fittest.
Yeah.
So I think it's more to do with spiritual culture or the lack of it, rather, that the world is in this ignorance. So just grateful to you for
what is the question?
I'm trying to appreciate your work, that you're spreading this message far and wide.
There's no question.
There's no questions.
Yeah, it's Prabhupada actually said, I've been given the service of being a spiritual master in our movement, the Order of Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya. And Prabhupada said the duty of the spiritual master is to live with the world. So I get up every morning, I think about becoming a pure devotee, and I think about living in the world also. That's my assigned duty from Prabhupada, to live with the world. So I'm trying to do whatever little bit I can. I'm not really qualified to do that. I'm hardly qualified to even be Krishna conscious, to be honest. I'm just barely hanging on by Prabhupada's mercy. Only by his mercy. So I'm really unfit for such a task. Totally unfit, but I'm just praying that for the previous acharyas, the Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas, they can somehow utilize me, even though I'm not very qualified. They can somehow utilize me in their world deliverance mission. I'm making my attempt, and if there's some success, all the credit goes to Prabhupada and those devotees who are helping me also, like my wife, for example, my disciples. Anything else? Yes.
Gurudev, what should we do to develop our bhakti every single day?
What should we do to
develop our bhakti every single day?
Develop. The way to develop, the way to always be developing bhakti is you have to chant Hare Krishna with feeling, not mechanically. Chanting a Hare Krishna is begging for development of pure love of God with Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Whatever you do, try to do it in the mood of developing love for Krishna. Just like we come to the temple, we do the kirtan, we see the deities. We should always be trying to awaken love of God in everything that we're doing, realizing that my only happiness is to awaken pure love of God within my heart. So let me do everything, honoring prasadam, serving Vaishnavas, let me do everything in the mood of trying to come to that point of pure love of God within my heart. Always endeavoring in everything we do, keep making that our focus in all of our activities. Just like a businessman, he's focused in every transaction, I must make a profit, you see. He's very focused. I must make a profit. There's another transaction, I must make a profit. So we should be like that businessman, you see. I must now utilize this experience right here, right now, to become more Krishna conscious. Every moment I should be always thinking, okay, whether I'm reading, whether I'm going out on book distribution, whether I'm going on Harinam, honoring prasadam, offering an RT, you know, going even my education, how I can use that in Krishna's service, or my livelihood, how I can earn money and use that money to maintain a Krishna conscious livelihood for my family and to give support to Lord Chaitanya's mission. Everything should be, for this point, always focusing. I have to utilize it to develop pure love of God. I have to utilize it to develop pure love of God within my heart. Anything else? Yes.
What happens to people who
What happened to people who develop bhakti for Jesus, Buddha, and other prophets?
Bhakti is pure love of God. It's pure love of God. Now, the difficulty is, they talk about Jesus, but and Jesus said, "Thou shalt not kill," but they're running big slaughterhouses. You see, so that's not. I come from a Christian background myself, and it wasn't. That atmosphere was not very inspiring. In fact, there was a popular song when I was a kid that I really related to. It said, "Blessed is the church service; it makes me nervous." Blessed is the church service; it makes me nervous. I mean, yeah. I didn't find bhakti in the church, the Christian church. I grew up in it. I didn't find bhakti there. But later on my own, when I was actually looking for self-realization, and I read the words of Jesus, then I actually found something that they never taught me in the church. Because Christ says, "Father, not my will, but thy will be done." And actually helped me become a devotee. Jesus Christ helped me become a devotee. Because he was showing you have to do what God wants, not what you want. That is the perfection. So it's all there in the preachings of Christ, but the modern day Christians have lost it. They don't, you know, even the Pope eats meat. You see? So they've lost their connection with Lord Jesus. Now we can teach them how to be real Christians. We can teach the Muslim how to become a real Muslim. We can teach all of these isms how to become perfect in Christianity, perfect in Judaism, perfect in Islam, perfect in Buddhism, etc. We know the science of God that applies to everyone, whether Christian, Jews, Sikhs, Jains, Muslims, or whatever. They've lost it. But now Prabhupada can bring back all of these traditions to their original pure roots. You see, by these books. By these books of Krishna, you make him a perfect Christian. A Muslim, a perfect Muslim. A Jew, a perfect Jew. By reading Prabhupada's books and practicing Christianity, Judaism, Islam, according to the way Prabhupada teaches the science of God. That's right. He can revolutionize the whole world and bring, actually have one more religion with different rooms in the house. This is the perfection of every ism. Anything else? Any challenges? We got 4 more minutes. Your last chance before I head out and get on the airplane.
Sincere chanting is becoming a challenge for me.
Chanting?
Sincere chanting is becoming a challenge for me.
Sincere chanting is becoming a challenge for me. Well, here's what you have to do. You have to beg Krishna to help you chant purely. So now you know how to pray. My dear Lord, I'm trying to chant your name, but it's a real challenge for me to chant purely. I seem to be, my chanting is all mixed up with inattentiveness and so much garbage. So please, my dear Lord, bless me. I can chant your name with purity. You simply have to beg Krishna. You think Krishna doesn't want you to chant purely? Krishna wants you to manifest Shuddha Nam on your lips so that you become fully self-realized. That's what Krishna wants for you right now. So you have to chant, you have to beg Krishna, please, my dear Lord. Bless me, I can chant with absolute purity. And Krishna will reciprocate. And your job will get really good. You beg every day like that. Krishna, please help me purely chant your name. And there's an end to your vows. You'll be amazed at how ecstatic your job can become. Sweeter than the sweetest honey. Sweeter than the sweetest love, gentlemen.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Anything else? Yes?
Gurudev, when I do service at the temple, so I have, I do it with a lot of mood and devotion. But how do I develop the same mood and devotion when I do my duties at home? But it's a bit, I feel...
Yeah. You have to think it's not mine. You have to see this is the property of Krishna. You have to see everything is Krishna's property. Not my home. Not mine. This is a place that Krishna... This is Krishna's property. He's given me a place where I can cultivate devotional service also. Actually, you should make your home as good as the temple. It should be as good as the temple. That's the proper vision. You see, everything is Krishna's property. Nirmama, nothing is mine. Everything belongs to Krishna. So this everything I have, it's all Krishna's property. I have to utilize it very nicely in his service, whatever it may be. And beg Krishna to help you. Please, my dear, help me utilize this situation to serve you with love. You keep begging in every situation. Like that, Krishna will reciprocate with you and you will be able to serve in love wherever you may be. Anything else? Yes?
Sure, how to verify that the real realization in the heart is from Krishna and it's real rather than it's my mental.
Somebody's real?
That when I get the realizations in the heart, it's from Krishna rather than it's my mental concoction. And
how do you know whether it's real?
How to verify, yes.
By reading the books? By becoming learned in Prabhupada's books, you can know when your realizations are genuine or when they're fake. It has to be confirmed in the books. Simple then.
It's So read the books. Prabhupada said, he said, all of my students must read all of my books so they will fall down. So we have to, every one of us should be regularly studying these books every day. You should be studying Prabhupada's books, everyone. Every day studying for Prabhupada's books. If somebody wants to look, Bhagavad Gita, Record of Devotion, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, we should all read all of these books. Because the more you read these books, the more you will see everything through the eyes of the books. Just like I say, many of you have glasses here, you take off your glasses, everything is a blur, isn't it? So, if you don't see through the eyes of Prabhupada's books, your vision is blurry. It's called Shastra Chakshu, seeing through the eyes of the scripture. If you're not seeing through the eyes of the scripture, you're blurry, you're not seeing things properly. Everything must be seen through the eyes of Prabhupada's books. That's how we judge everything, based on Prabhupada's teaching. So our time is up. One more question, okay?
In relation to that, Gurudev, when I read Prabhupada's books and I understand, at times it becomes very hard to implement in the practice, that because now it's against my nature, it's against my...
Then beg Prabhupada to help you. Srila Prabhupada, you're saying like this, I have a hard time doing it, so please bless me, I can do it. Whenever you see a defect, that's a great opportunity to beg for mercy. Instead of being discouraged by your defects, utilize them as an opportunity to beg for the mercy. And that way you'll no longer be held back by them, but they'll be actually, when those defects become aware of your defects on your own, or when someone points out to you your defects, then you just beg Krishna to help you get over them. And so there's no difficulty. Your home is, you're begging. Say, well, I don't want to be a beggar, but what did Prabhupada say? Prabhupada said, I'm simply an insignificant beggar. If Prabhupada presented himself as a beggar, what is our position? We have to become beggars, begging the mercy of Guru, begging the mercy of Prabhupada, begging the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, begging the mercy of Radharani, begging the mercy of Krishna, begging. So whenever you see a defect, just keep begging to get over the defect. That's it. And they will, those great personalities, when you sincerely beg, they will help you get over it. All defects can be, one can cross over this ocean of defects by taking shelter of Guru, Gauranga, and Krishna. You can completely cross over the ocean of defects. So you sincerely want to get rid of them and just beg Krishna to help you get over them. And then you become... That day will become. You become Goswami, master in the mind, words, anger, tongue, belly, genitals. You'll be empowered to make this feathers movement like anything all over the world. Next. Yeah?
Sometimes we see those who are very learned in the scripture, they give their own interpretations of Prabhupada's teaching. So how to see that?
Someone who's very learned in the books, but they like to give their own version. That means they haven't really. That means they're making a show of being learned, but actually they haven't really understood what they're reading. They're making a show. Oh, I'm a great learned pundit. Hear from me, but they're using Prabhupada's books for their own.
But
they're misusing it.
Yeah, misusing, but they're influencing the new people. They're teaching.
Well, if somebody is misrepresenting Prabhupada's books, they have to be corrected.
One may not be in the position to correct them.
Well, then we should inform those who are in the position to correct them.
Sometimes they also don't.
Well, if chaos is going on, we have to become more. We have to become qualified. We have to increase our own. Are we to become more empowered then? If Prabhupada's books of teachings are being distorted all around us, we have to develop more spiritual power within our own hearts so we can rectify the situation. Such things do happen. That happened in Gaudiya Math. Gaudiya Math fell apart because they deviated from Bhakti Siddhanta's instructions. See, they didn't follow him. So that danger can happen in ISKCON too. You can deviate from Prabhupada. So those who are very dedicated to Prabhupada, you know, their duty to preach in such a way that this mission will never be destroyed by the influence of the material nature. Position or no position. Anybody who has a sincere follower of Srila Prabhupada, they have a right to speak out when things are being deviated from Prabhupada's teaching. Everyone has a right to speak out on behalf of these teachings if they see things are not being done properly according to Prabhupada's teaching. Position or no position?
Everybody likes that.
Huh?
But everybody likes that because it's a Kali Yuga.
Laughs? What is it?
Likes.
Yeah, people like the deviations, but it doesn't really bring transcendental bliss. If one thinks the deviations are really nice, it's more comfortable, then that means if that mentality goes on, it means we'll become another like Christianity, another deviation, you know. We become a big organization, but we deviated from our Kandacharya. The Christianity is big, but they're deviated. So such an expansion of a deviated, watered-down version of Krishna consciousness is not very useful, not very helpful. We need to keep the movement pure as Prabhupada gave it to us. Isn't it? Okay, so we'll stop.
How to attract the people?
Well, those who are sincere, who want to awaken pure love of God, they'll be attracted by those who are presenting pure love of God, showing the example and are preaching correctly. Those people will definitely find those who are actually looking for pure love of God and not some watered down quasi-spirituality. They will find those who are actually showing the example. Krishna will bring them together. So, that's it. Thank you very much. It's been so amazingly enlivening to be here in such a vibrant devotional community. I mean, it blows my mind how amazing the atmosphere is here. Your enthusiasm for Harinam, book distribution, all these activities, this nice deity worship, it's such an ideal place. All I can do is carry Melbourne, ISKCON Melbourne in my heart with me all over the world.
Yeah.